Right. Hello and welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah and this is my partner, Joey.
Good morning, guys.
And for this new season of MedTalks, we're just focusing our attention on the wide spectrum of healthcare professionals. And the reason that we decided to do this is because we feel that med students and doctors don't always really fully understand the role of other healthcare professionals, nor pay them the respect they deserve. So that being said, let's empower and educate ourselves.
Thank you, Debbie. It's lovely to be back in studio and here to record another episode. Also, a warm welcome to all of our listeners. Thank you for giving this episode a listen. We appreciate your support. Please leave us some feedback. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. And send us an idea and maybe you can be our next guest star. Moving on to today's topic, where we will be speaking about nursing science. We are fortunate enough to welcome Amy Fast to the show today, and we're very excited to be chatting to her. How are you doing today, Amy?
Good, thanks.
It's nice to have you here.
Yeah, welcome, welcome. I'm really excited about this episode, and I was just saying it's before we even started this, it's nice to finally actually speak to a nurse because we don't actually interact that much with you guys, and we don't really know what you do. So, and I mean, we should be working very closely together. So, I mean, as students, we don't really get that exposure.
But the relationship that's sorely lacking.
Yeah, 100%.
We always see each other in the ward.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't really, you know, anyway. So I think let's dive right into the cliche personal question. What made you decide to study nursing?
So from when I was little, I always wanted to be a nurse. It was crazy. Like, actually, a lot of people tried to convince me, like, become a doctor, and I would always just go back to nursing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think at the end of the day, people see this thing of doctors, it's like not a team, it's not a team look at people.
Yeah.
It's more like the doctors are there and nursing is like one step below doctors. And it's not like that.
I
don't know if you guys would agree, but
it 100%.
Sometimes comes across like that, where it's like when you mention, I want to be a nurse, people automatically go, but why not a doctor?
Yeah, why didn't you get into med school?
Yeah.
Why do you want to work underneath a doctor,
yeah,
something like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So I would say probably the main reason why I became a nurse would be to just help people who are less, like, who are sick and vulnerable.
And I think you as a nurse, I mean, from what I observe, you guys actually have a lot more exposure with that. You have a lot more patient relationship than we get to have.
Yeah. And I think it's just a different relationship. Like, I think it's not that nobody is more superior or like, better learned. It's a different profession.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what it comes down to, is that, like, nurses have their scope of practice and doctors have theirs, and we need to learn how to work together hand in hand in order to get the best outcome for the patient.
I 100% agree with it, and it finally someone said it. So when and where did you study nursing?
I studied nursing at Tux, and I was studying from 2014, and I graduated in 2017 and then did my course.
So four-year course.
Four-year course, yeah.
Jeez, quite intense, eh?
Were you in res, or did you stay in private accommodation?
No, I had the privilege of staying at home, which really helped.
It's lovely when your parents get to cook and do your laundry for you.
Yeah, and when you have, like, a rough day at work, you can just come home and be like, why am I being exposed to this when I'm so young?
Exactly. I mean, thinking back on, you know, some of the things that we've seen, it can definitely be quite traumatic, so it's great to have your support system.
Yeah.
Or your boys waiting at res.
Or your boys, I mean, for those of us that didn't live at home. So how was your experience at university as a nursing student? And could you just tell us a bit about the certain challenges, such as the notorious long hours that you faced as a student?
Yeah, I mean, I think every degree has its disadvantages, and I must say it was quite an adjustment to go from, because after I matriculated, I went straight into studying, and then from the Feb you start working in the hospital.
Oh wow, so they, like, throw you right into it.
Yeah,
eh?
It's like there's no getting used to nursing. No, it's like
it's like 3 years for us before we expose.
Literally,
to hospital,
before they're gonna let us touch anything.
It's crazy. Like, some of my thankfully it didn't happen to me, because I think I might have failed. Mm-hmm. But, like, some of my friends on their first day were busy having to deal with, like, resuscing.
What?
And stuff.
And I would not put any, like, no.
It was insane, like, because then you, obviously you like chat to your friends after shift.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my word, I recessed today. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I didn't have to do that.
What did you even do? How do you know what to do?
So technically, they just, in all honesty, in first year, they just tell you, like, run and get the VP machine or...
But still, that's quite a trauma. I mean, as, you know, you've just walked out of high school and they're like...
Learning curve.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Here are people that are almost dying. Welcome.
Yeah.
It's very... I can imagine it can be very traumatic.
But sometimes being thrown into the deep end also, it works to a certain extent.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It doesn't absolutely traumatize you, but yes.
It does. I mean, it's something definitely to get used to because, I mean, even like a bed bath, I remember it was such a, it was like, oh,
actually,
God,
it's
now
a bed
I have
bath
to bed bath. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, it comes with the territory. I guess we all have really like disgusting things that we have to deal with in this profession.
Yeah.
Jeez, a bed bath. I've never even considered that. Like how, like when you see a patient, it's like the most we have to do is just like, would you please undress so I can examine you? Not, I'm going to clean you now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to undress.
Got to get comfortable with it, I suppose.
Yeah, it becomes like...
Second nature, I guess. Like, once you've done a few, it's...
You're stinky. Just wash you quickly.
Let me help you out.
Some roll-on.
Spray.
Like, yeah, what cologne would you like?
No, exactly.
Here's the wide selection. But, I mean, I think, as you say, it is, in a sense, it is a good thing that they kind of do throw you in the deep end. I must admit, I'm very glad we got our slow introduction, although it was very frustrating.
It took its sweet time, Debbie. Physics and chemistry in first year.
No, that wasn't great. Not gonna lie. Didn't enjoy it. But still, it was...
At least we got to experience main campus, though, which is fun. But
that's very true as well. Missing out a whole other life.
Yeah. So we definitely missed out on main campus, actually. I must say. Yeah. And holidays.
Oh, wow.
That was a thing.
Yeah, I've heard that you had to work hours in holidays. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So they hold over you from day one that you have to get 4,000 practical hours before you can qualify.
Oh, my word.
That's
a lot of sell your life.
What's 4,000 divided by 24 even? Like, how many days of working is that? That's a...
It's a lot.
That's one of...
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of hours. So, in first year, you work every Friday. A 12-hour shift.
Every Friday?
Yeah, crazy.
I feel like they go so easy on us.
They do. We have Fridays off if we want. Well, yeah, you can really take your Friday off. Anyway, go on.
Then, second year was a bit of a blur. I think it's also every Friday or maybe it's twice a week. I know from third year it's definitely twice a week. 12-hour shifts. And then fourth year it's you only really have two class days and the rest of the time you're working. So it's a lot. And then you only get 21 leave days per year.
Sure.
Yeah. So you can take that when you want, but
sounds kind of
only
like
when they approve it.
Are working and not studying.
Pretty much.
Leave days.
Yeah, we only have 21. So in the holidays when everybody breaks away, we work 40-hour weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Maybe our degree isn't so bad.
No, I mean that's really intense. They really did throw you guys into the deep end there. I mean, we had like 2 month holidays at once.
Even 3 months. Like you could really stretch it. Like,
you really could. It was a good time. But I mean, I guess because it's only 4 years and it's super jam packed, but that obviously comes with its struggles to be studying and basically working a full time job that you're not getting paid for.
Yeah. It definitely is something to adjust to.
Yeah. I'm guessing that first paycheck was really sweet.
It was.
Yeah. Working for money, the incentive goes a long way, hey? Okay, well, you said you studied at Turks, and earlier you mentioned before we were doing the podcast that you can study through the private sector. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so Turks offers when I was doing it, was a 4-year degree. I think they've actually, if I'm not mistaken, they've changed it now to a 3-year degree, and then you don't get, I stand under correction here, but you don't get all your bars for your degree. But then you can study through some private colleges, and then but then it's also a diploma, and you work in the private hospital.
Okay, so you don't really get that government hospital exposure.
Yeah, it's very different. I don't really know much about the private side of studying, but I do know that you can study through the colleges. There's also SG College, which is literally just down the road from Tufts. They also offer it.
And could you explain a bit about the bars?
Yeah. So the actual epaulette, the maroon epaulette, yes. It means that you are a general surgical sister.
Okay.
Nice, so
okay.
Yeah, you can basically work in the wards and trauma theater.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the bars, so the yellow one is community, which means that you can work in a clinic.
Okay.
The green one means that you're qualified midwife. Mm-hmm. And then the black
labor
one,
certified. Yeah.
The black one is sometimes navy blue, but that one is for psychiatry.
Okay.
Yeah. So then,
wow, okay.
Yeah. When I was studying, third year was your psych year.
Okay.
And then you go and you work at a private
psychiatric institute. Yes.
Yeah. And then, or Vescorpies. So you do 2 months at Vescorpies and then 1 month in a private institution.
Okay. So when, with your degree at Tux, have you been able to get all those bars?
Yes.
And those aren't the bars that you would be able to get if you went through a private institution?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I really want to check every nurse's bars now.
Yes,
I want to go
I'm
to hospital
curious.
And check those epaulettes.
Because I've never, I've never known. That's really interesting.
I always check it out and then I'm like, what does it mean? I don't really want to ask. And yeah.
Now we know.
So the there's two others. Sorry. Mm-hmm. The silver one is for management and then the white one is for education.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many bars do you have? I have to ask.
I have three.
Three.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All barred up.
Cool. It's like in the, you know, working up the ranks.
Yeah.
Why don't we get bars, Debbie? We need some cool things.
We get doctor's jacket. That's about it.
It looks like what do you call it? Those white coats that we had. It looks like a science coat.
A science. Oh yes.
Called it a lab coat.
A
glorified lab coat.
It basically does. I mean, I did use my lab coat for a while, but anyway.
Yeah. Same. No. to be honest. Anyway, moving on. Amy, nurses, like you said, they can occupy a wide variety of roles in the healthcare system. Everything from running primary health clinics, like you said, I don't know what bar that was, the community one. But
Yellow.
Short-term memory loss. To working long and tiring hours in hospital wards, even to running intensive care units. So after obtaining your degree, what are the next steps that are required for you to be able to work in our healthcare system?
Yeah, so after you've got your degree, you can basically go and work in a hospital. You can work in a clinic if you have the bar. After that, you can decide to do your postgrad. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. they've really been struggling to get our postgrad stuff up and running. So for the last 2 years, I think, there haven't been nursing postgrads.
Oh, wow.
Just because of they're changing the curriculum, so they're trying to review that and get that all finalized. I think it's been 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do you do your postgrad through? Also through?
You can also do it through Tux, or you can do a whole lot of short courses. You can also do some things through UNISA.
Okay.
And some through colleges. And, yeah, there's lots of options where you can go and do it. But if it's, like, an actual, internationally recognized something, then you need to do that through the university.
And that's disappointing that Tux doesn't have that up and running, or UPA, actually.
Yeah. So not all the things that you specialize in will be a bar.
Okay.
So you can go and do your trauma qualification. You can go and do your ICU. Doesn't mean that you can't work in trauma or ICU. It just means that you're more... Like, you've
qualified.
Just got more qualification to work there.
Okay.
Mm. It doesn't also mean that you're going to be a better sister.
Yeah.
In that sphere.
Yeah.
Like, I guess everything, you know.
Of course.
There's also a lot of things that you can do in public health. So then you can go and work at embassies. And, yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
What type of work would you be required to do at an embassy?
So you basically run there. Okay. Probably differs from embassy to embassy, but you run, lots of embassies have their own little healthcare clinic that you will, sort of keep
for the staff
medical records for the staff and for the diplomats.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
you know what, that doesn't sound too bad. Yeah. I've seen some embassies and
they look pretty nice.
Yeah,
they are.
Having a little in the garden, a little cottage.
Yeah. No, it's true. And you work the hours. Like, I know my one friend, she went to work there and she gets, like, that country where she's working, she gets their public holidays as well as our public holidays.
Public holidays.
What kind of life is this?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Does she get lunch breaks as well and stuff like
that? You know, she has pretty good hours.
Yeah, good standard of living there.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to be an embassy doctor, Debbie.
I mean, okay. I didn't even know it was an option, but cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gee, so you guys actually have, it's a very broad spectrum that you can go into. So what are you busy currently doing at the moment?
At the moment, I am working in a cardiac ICU.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll see where it goes from that. What's really nice, what I've realized, something that I hadn't actually realized before I stopped studying, was that, like, if you choose to go into a discipline, you can easily
change
your mind and then go into another discipline, which sounds really bad, but I mean, like,
it's inevitable.
Every sphere has its perks to it.
Yeah.
And its pros and cons, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So you can experience, like you said, one sphere, and if it's not working for you, you can move on, and that's actually quite great.
Keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So in my comm serve, I worked in labor ward.
Oh, shame. Sorry.
It was rough.
I don't know, maybe she enjoyed it.
I mean, true, that's true.
I have
a huge objection to obs and gynae. I think that's just been my own experiences.
No, it was pretty, it was, there were like 500 babies being born a month.
At which hospital did you do this?
I don't think I should do
that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave it at that.
The scary stories might come out, and in that case, then
nobody should know where it is. We might have a problem on our hands. Yeah. Okay. No, but I mean, I can only imagine those hours must have been pretty insane, working in labor ward. And was it your choice to, or did you just get placed?
I was just placed there. When they gave me, it was really funny, because when they handed me my placement, they're like, you're in labor ward. And I literally looked at the matron, and I was like, do you have anything in emergency?
Anything else?
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
She was like, no, I'm sorry, you have to go there. I'm like, okay, but if anything opens up, please remember me.
You let me know.
So everyone just gets placed a comm serve post. Can you apply to certain places?
Yeah, so the way it worked, I think it's changed now, but the way it worked for me was you had to choose three places. Only one of the places could be a tertiary hospital. The other two had to be level one hospitals.
Okay.
And they all had to be, well, for me, I was on a bursary, so they all had to be in Gauteng.
Oh, okay.
And then they had like different groups, basically, and you had to choose one hospital out of the group. So I got sent out of Pretoria.
Okay.
To a very tiny level one hospital.
Fun. It was an experience. I'm sure it built your character.
I'm sure it was quite a drive if you stayed at home as well.
No, I actually moved. Okay. I moved out of Pretoria, because I was just like, no.
Yeah, can't deal with traffic on top of your
No. And they, like, you alternated months with night shift and day shift. So.
Oh, okay.
Some, like, on your night's month shift, you would work 7 nights on and then 7 nights off. So I couldn't drive
for hours
back and forth.
Actually.
Yeah. Understandably.
Well, it's clear that nurses are truly versatile, as you've been saying, working in these different wards. Amy, what essential qualities must each nurse have, in your opinion?
Wow. Probably, firstly, to be caring and to really have the best interests of somebody else who is not anybody to you, but your patient, you know, probably to have their best interests at heart. Patients.
Definitely.
The other day I was chatting to one of my colleagues and they were saying that a lot of sisters, or specifically in ICU, studies have shown that they have a bit of ADHD. Because you have to, like, multitask so much.
Constantly, yeah, I can imagine.
Like, then the alarm goes off, then you're doing that. Then the family member phones, so then you're answering the phone. Then your patient is becoming unstable, so you're mixing all the inotropes and making sure that the bag's on. And it's, like, never...
It's never ending.
It's time. It's, like, never... Like, how it... It's not... There's no routine.
Yeah, it's literally
a routine, but it's chaotic routine.
Craziness everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually. Ability probably, to multitask.
Yeah.
So just keep track, I guess, of what needs to be done.
But definitely patience and all the good things.
Yeah.
I guess every good human needs to possess those qualities.
Sugar,
I suppose.
Spice and everything else.
Yeah. All right. So in your opinion, do you think there's a stigma attached around being a male nurse?
There probably is.
There shouldn't be, but there probably is.
Yes.
Yeah.
There probably is. I didn't have any male nurses in my year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, actually, I lie. I did. They sort of blended into the background. So there probably is a stigma.
Probably, yeah.
So I think we had about two guys in our year.
Oh, wow.
I think during varsity, there definitely is a stigma. But as soon as you transition into a hospital, it's almost like they really are valued.
Which they should be, 100%. Yes,
I mean, I hands down, male nurses, they are a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Which I know it's controversial.
But you need that.
There's a lot of physical work that needs to be
like
done.
They can really help you turn patients and lift patients. And a lot of male patients are more comfortable with them.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because vice versa, female patients are less comfortable with them.
Yeah.
So there definitely is a place for them in nursing.
100%. I wish, just got to like preach that to the crowds, you know, make them feel more comfortable.
I think it's also like South Africa has got a very different perception to the rest of the world because like overseas, like it's weird to not be nursing and male. Like,
yeah.
Like
it's
caregiving and
yeah, it's not a strange thing there.
Yeah, it's like it's a norm.
Yeah.
So
stuck in the past, But I guess it also ties into our whole school system and everything and then going into varsity. Like I know guys don't want to be like, no, I'm studying nursing, or no one like it. It just is that way,
and it shouldn't be. There's nothing. Yeah. I think it's because it's obviously a scene. You know, being a doctor is seen more as a male profession, and being a nurse is seen more as a female profession. And there really isn't like the gender roles shouldn't come through in that way. It's not true. It's possible for you know anyone to be a doctor and anyone to be a nurse. So. That's just a stigma that we got to break. This is why we're...
Thanks to Florence Nightingale, my trusted little friend.
So much has been said about the relationship between doctors and the different allied healthcare professionals, such as nurses, physios, OTs. It's a contentious topic because most doctors see themselves at the top of the hierarchy of the healthcare system, and everyone beneath them they treat almost... Most, but some treat them with less respect than what they deserve, or don't always integrate them fully into a patient's management. And I think this is something that needs to change. Have you ever felt as if a doctor has treated you condescendingly or treated you without the necessary level of respect?
Yes.
How many times?
Every day, daily.
Daily.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. And like just now I mentioned Florence Nightingale, and I don't know if it's from her, but from way back when it was sort of like, even if you look at 1950s, 1940s, there was still that very big gap between men and women.
Yeah.
And like you said, men, it was the doctor position and women was the nurse position. And I think it's just filtered through from generation to generation that doctors are above nurses, and they're not. Like,
absolutely.
It's a complementary system.
Yes, it's like everybody's on their same level. Everybody studied their own science. Mm-hmm. Doctors have their profession. Nurses have theirs. So, you know, it's very easy to say we need to start working together, but it's the truth. Like, it needs to be said. And I think that it's actually sad that doctors and nurses during study time
aren't integrated.
Because at the end of the day, then it's like
we don't even know
like
how
your closest colleague at the end of the day.
You're not even always aware on how to like address nurses or how to involve them in your management plan, or you're not even aware of what nurses actually do. And it, as you said, it is a complementary thing. I mean, our hospitals and our clinics would not exist without nurses. Like, absolutely. Like, we would not have a healthcare system if it wasn't for nursing. So I think it's so arrogant of doctors to think that, oh no, we're the end all and the be all. It's not the case at all. We would not be able to manage a ward. We would not be able to see patients if it wasn't for the nursing staff. Our patients would probably die because no one's taking care of them. So I think that's like 100% something that needs to be addressed. And it's so nice to finally have your perspective, because we see it. And it's not something that I tend to agree with, but it is definitely something that has filtered down. And it's like an attitude that's passed on, you know, from doctor to student. So it's something that definitely needs to be on the change.
And that is actually true. I know when I was studying, you'd always say, oh, the third years are so nice. Like,
yeah,
like so friendly, because they want, because obviously I think like we were in first year, it's new, the environment's new. you need to find things and stuff. And then there was like always something that would go around between the nurses, like, what happens between fourth year and fifth year and fifth year and sixth year? We're like, what is happening here? Like,
why do you change so much? Why do you become horrible?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
at the end of the day, we look at doctors or our seniors kind of, and we subconsciously take or adopt their attitude towards things or take their approach because they are the people that we end up looking up to. So it's a whole system that's continuously perpetuated, unfortunately.
And I think in some areas it's good that we take what they, you know, who they are and what they've learned, and then, but there's a lot of toxic traits that like we can leave behind.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, just in the generation that we're in, it's like a culture that's kind of stepping more forward and standing up for themselves and being like, this isn't right. Like, we don't have to be this anymore. So I think it's definitely a step forward.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely not every doctor. Like,
no, 100%.
It's definitely, it becomes, at the end of the day, it's everybody's choice how they're going to behave. And like, people will treat you the way that they treat you because of them, not because of you.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, it's everybody's individual decision of how to treat them. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've encountered some rude sisters, and that's also not okay.
Yeah. And surprisingly, way more rude doctors than rude sisters, if I'm going to be honest with you. Like, doctors are so, when they're in a bad mood, they can be very emotionally abusive. And unfortunately, but yeah, you're so right. At the end of the day, it does come down to like who you are as a person, and also learning to not take them personally. Like, it's not a reflection of yourself. It's a reflection of them, as you say.
It's in the one ear, out the other. Just a smile and a nod.
Okay, cool. Thanks, bye.
You do you.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, what can we do to solve this issue of the doctor-nurse relationship? Does it start as a student, maybe? Student integration of the degrees, maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one because I know both the degrees are so jam-packed. So it almost seems a bit overwhelming to say now we have to integrate it more. But I mean, I don't know. That's a really tough question.
One for the listeners to think about.
Yeah.
And for us, actually.
I think probably it takes every individual making a decision. Like, I'm not going to be influenced by the culture that is so prevalent in my profession, you know, and just to rise above the culture, as difficult as it is.
Yeah, and call out the discrepancies, you know.
Yeah.
To have the courage to call them out, because that's, I think, the only way through communication that we're actually going to change this.
Yeah.
Through communication and awareness.
Mm.
Okay, so as a nurse studying and having worked in the public healthcare system, you've naturally seen a very wide variety of cases and met very interesting cases. Could you maybe share a story or two about a patient that you just can't forget, that you will never forget?
Sure.
Sure, you have a couple.
Yeah. Probably one that I would really say was... It was scary at the time, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So I had worked in labor ward, and then I had actually gotten transferred to emergency department, and I was working in the emergency department.
Thankfully, your wishes came true.
My wishes came true in a very real sense. I also was exposed to
a lot,
but I was very grateful to be out of
labor ward
because it was very intense. Like, in the labor ward, you deliver sometimes 6 babies by yourself, just you, the lady delivering and the baby being born.
Wow.
And then you would do everything from the delivery to making sure that the, like, postnatal care, making sure that the baby's all right, doing all the paperwork.
Oh my word.
And then the next.
Like, okay, on to the next, let's go.
You must be an expert.
Yeah, and you would have, like, 6 patients to yourself. So you'd
trust
have...
Trust you to deliver my baby. Yeah. Honestly.
I mean, like, if any family member ever needs to deliver and you're in the area, I got it.
Yeah. Actually, I just steer clear of, like, really far pregnant women now. Like, in the mall, I'm just like, I'm backing away. Like, you have fun there.
I can't help you.
Yeah. So, I'd had my 7 months there, delivered like 124 babies in those 7 months. Crazy, crazy times.
I can only imagine.
Moved on to emergency department. I was like, okay, it's all right. Like, it's fine. So on this one day, they called me. They're like, you have to come now. And it was in the town where I was working, they had these first responders. So they weren't really trained paramedics.
But okay.
If somebody was in distress or needed help, then they would escort the people to the hospital okay. with their little lights on their car.
Okay.
Just to steer clear of other people, like yeah. giving them away. So it was a really good system that they had. So they rushed in, they like called us, and I was probably the closest one to them. So I went out. I need to find this lady in this like 1400 bucky, just like chilling in the back. She's like fully laboring.
Oh my word! You thought you had gotten rid?
Yes. And I was like,
jokes on you.
Okay. So I like check her out. I'm like, okay. She was having a breech delivery, so I was like, okay, let's just. Can somebody go and call the doctor? Personally,
someone get a gynecologist.
Secondly, no, we don't have those.
Oh wow!
Not at that hospital. We just have
just the doctor then.
Just the doctor.
Remind me not to want to work at that hospital. Yeah, I do not want to be in that position.
Can somebody also just get a stretcher? So the doctor comes out, and she's like, "Okay, we need to get her up to labor ward," and I'm like, "There is no way this lady is even making that stretcher, let alone."
Labor ward.
So back to the 1400 bucky, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So they're...
Not the most sterile place, but...
No. Sterile was out of the window.
Like, no, that wasn't even...
Alcohol on the back of the...
Give it a scrub.
Yeah. So
then,
because the doctor wasn't really experienced in labor, she's like, okay, do you know how to deliver this baby? And I'm like, well, in theory, I mean, I have
I could help you, kind of.
Oh, my word. So, yeah.
What an experience.
That baby was delivered. Thankfully, it was her fourth baby.
Oh, wow.
So that I was really grateful for because...
So what do you what do, to right? Do. So the feet come first.
So the feet come first.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was both feet coming first.
Yeah, because...
That would be a problem if one got, like...
If one was stuck. Yeah. Like, and there's no ways that you can, like, push the baby... back and go and do a Caesar because already like up to the knees we're already birthed.
Oh,
So that baby's coming out whether
whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah. Okay. And then you basically it's a lot of the delivery itself is a lot slower than a normal delivery.
Oh wow.
So you allow gravity to
just do the
kind
thing.
Of slowly.
Yeah. So the baby sort of hangs and then the head still rotates within.
Wow, pelvis.
It's kind of. Yeah. I'm just seeing complication or thinking of complication.
complication after complication. You know, umbilical cord. Where is it?
Yeah, where is umbilical?
Oh, and also, sorry, I forgot to mention, slight problem.
Yeah.
She had a cord prolapse, and it was a freezing day. Like it was so cold.
Oh, my word.
On that day. It was the coldest day in our winter that we were having.
And she decided to have her breech cord prolapse delivery in the back of a ducky.
Yes.
Could have timed it better.
She must have been so cold. And the poor baby as well, because was the bucky outside still?
Yeah, the bucky was still outside in, like, the ambulance bay. So the wind was blowing, because it was, like, on top of a hill. So it's, like, the wind was blowing there.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It's cord prolapse. So you can't really... Like, the cord should not get cold because then the baby doesn't get blood. So,
oh my word. Yeah,
that happened. And the baby actually came out with pretty good apgars. Yeah.
Well done to that baby. A real survivor.
Well done to the nurse there, actually.
I was trying that baby out. I was like, this baby
ain't dying on me today. Jeez, that is a very intimidating
story.
That is, wow. Lived and breathed it. That's remarkable. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, shame. It was definitely a story to be told.
Not something that I imagine you'd want to relive.
No, it was very stressful.
I can.
Like, because also it's a 1400 bucky. So her mom was sitting behind her, like holding her up. And then, that's pretty much the space gone.
Yeah, so, it's not a big whatever.
She was sort of diagonal on the, in the bed of the bucky. Mm-hmm. And then it was just me. I was literally like squatting on the flap that comes out, on the boot flap,
trying to...
That must be so uncomfortable. How'd your knees make it? And weren't you, like, squatting for quite some time?
I definitely felt it the next day. I'll say that.
My ankles, my knees.
Put you off childbirth. I really hope she didn't have another kid after.
I mean,
yeah,
it's possible. In the areas where I was working,
it's very brave.
They were like, because there was, her two kids were in the front, like, sort of looking...
Oh my word, the story just keeps escalating, it just gets worse and worse. Jeez, wow. Well, that's quite a high note to end things on, I must say. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your insights and sharing your stories. It's been absolutely wonderful.
No worries, thanks for having me.
And then just to our listeners, guys, let us know what you think, how you feel about things, drop us a DM. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for your support. We really hope you enjoy today. I think it's very informative, and I think, obviously, once again, a lot of great things that we can learn from.
Definitely agree with that one, Debbie, and just a big thank you again to Amy for joining us today. It's really been great having you on the show, getting the nurse perspective. I think it's something all of us medical students and eventual doctors need to keep in mind, is that professional respect relationship.
100%.
And yes, this is Med Talk signing out.
Bye.